One night there was a man who decided to tell his wife how much he loved her. After dinner, he began to recite poetry, romantic poetry, and all kinds of beautiful phrases in that poetry. He told her he would climb the highest mountains to be near her. He would swim wide oceans. He would cross deserts in the heat of the day, even sit at her window and sing love songs to her in the moonlight. She listened to him go on like this for some time about his great love for her. And she ended the conversation when she asked, "Yeah, but will you wash the dishes for me?" Well, talk is cheap sometimes, isn't it? There is a famous poster that is hung in a lot of conference rooms across the country. It shows two or three large hippopotami standing around with their gigantic mouths open. And the words on the poster read, "When all is said and done, more is said than done." It's a principle we read in the New Testament as well. This idea that talk is cheap. Now, Paul said it this way in reference to the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, where he wrote, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." Well, in the Gospel of Mark, the Jesus that we encounter is a man of action. We might even call him an action hero, the ultimate action hero. He is a man of action, not just of words. In fact, the Gospel of Mark focuses on the actions and deeds of Jesus. There's very little talk recorded in this brief Gospel of Mark. In comparison to the other Gospels, you just don't get a lot of words in Mark. Now, did he talk? Obviously, absolutely. Jesus said a lot of things, and you can read long sections of his teaching recorded in Matthew, recorded in John. We've been, in our scripture readings on Sunday mornings, been reading through the Gospel of John, long sections of Jesus' words recorded. But in Mark, the picture is sort of balanced by showing Jesus as doing things, being this man of action, and there is this focus on what he did rather than on what he said. He is constantly on the move in the Gospel of Mark. You know, he is healing the sick on one occasion, casting out demons on another. He's confronting his opponents in one place while he's teaching his disciples in another. And all these events, all this action is linked by some words that Mark keeps repeating throughout, theme words we might call them, words like immediately and at once keep repeating themselves as we read the Gospel of Mark. And as you read through this Gospel, you sort of find yourself out of breath at times at the fast pace, if you're sort of reading it in the spirit it was written. Jesus was a man, not just of words, though he spoke the greatest and most profound words ever spoken, but he was a man of deeds. He was a true man of action. So I want us to look at an example of this, survey an example of this just in chapter 1 this morning to show how this works in this book. Chapter 1 is a good example, and it sort of prepares us for the rest of the gospel. Beginning in verse 16 of chapter 1, let's just notice as we look through the pace and the repetition of these words that are supposed to get our attention, these words immediately and at once. Begins in verse 16 of chapter 1, "Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately They left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. And immediately they told him about her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that's why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Well, just in that sample from Mark chapter 1 of action and the movement and the fast pace, going from place to place, you know, all this just in the first chapter. And you could multiply this kind of thing as you read throughout the book of Mark. And we've seen just in these verses this word "immediately." You know, that word is fascinating study in the Gospels. It occurs in Matthew, Luke, and John combined. This word "immediately" occurs in those three books 11 times. In the book of Mark, it occurs more than 40 times. And so it's an intentional thing that this is inserted by the gospel writer Mark. That's more than just an interesting bit of trivia. You know, there's a purpose. As Mark tells the story of Jesus, he has a point that he is trying to get across. And it is this, that Jesus is a man of action. And did you notice in what we read in Mark chapter 1 how this man of action over and over tells others not to talk too much? Another theme in Mark is, and won't spend much time on that here, but Jesus will heal somebody and then he'll say to them, "Don't tell anybody. Don't say anything about this. Be quiet." He'll cast demons out. He'll command the demons not to speak. See, the Jesus that Mark wants us to know is a man of action who realizes that talk is not enough. And it's not always productive. Paul said it this way again. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. And the display of power in the Gospel of Mark is incredible. Jesus enters his ministry decisively, dramatically, powerfully. So what do we learn from all this that will make us better citizens of the kingdom that Jesus brought? Well, first of all, as we've said, Jesus was much more than just a teacher. He was more than a rabbi. He was a doer. You could never accuse Jesus of being sort of locked away in an ivory tower someplace and pontificating down to everybody else his will. He's always with people. He is working with people. He says of himself later in the Gospel of Mark, remember these words that he spoke, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Well, you're going to serve, you've got to be with people. And he was with them constantly. He gave this example for us. You know, if we're going to follow in his steps, this is a part of his character that is revealed to us as we read the gospel. Maybe you've heard the old proverb, well done is better than well said. And Jesus lives that before us, as recorded by Mark. His work, his deeds, his actions spoke for themselves. There's another saying that goes, when your work speaks for itself, don't interrupt. And that's a lesson that Jesus teaches as well. Someone has said that people in the world can be divided into three groups. Number one, those who make things happen. Number two, those who watch things happen. And finally, number three, those who wonder what happened. Well, what type of person was our Lord? He made things happen, didn't he? And he wants his followers to be people of action, not just people of words, not just mouths, but arms and legs, feet and hands. In fact, his hands and his feet in this world today. That's what he's looking for among his followers. Second this morning, this incredible pace that Jesus kept shows that he is able to relate to a very busy and hectic world and schedule. Now, Jesus can sympathize, indeed empathize, with your life if it's this way, if it is busy. Maybe as we read through Mark chapter 1, that portion of it that we read through, maybe it sounded like your life at times. Is your life a series of immediately's and at-once's all strung together? Well, Jesus, our Lord, understands that. He knows what that is like. He lived it. Imagine all the things that he crammed into 3.5 years of public ministry and all that he accomplished in that time. We're very time conscious in our society as Americans, probably the most time conscious people in the world. Always agreed with the idea that you can tell what's important to a group of people by finding the thing that they have the most words to describe. You study a group of people, for instance, Eskimos have dozens and dozens of words for snow and ice. Well, it's their existence, isn't it? And Americans do the same with the concept of time. American English contains more references to time than any other spoken language in use. One time I tested this and went to an online thesaurus and put in the word time, and on that search there were over 300 entries of English words to describe time. 300. Well, Jesus lived a very busy, very hectic, very fast-paced life in what is recorded for us in the gospel. And he can identify with people who in this society live lives like that. He can sympathize. He's been there. He can empathize with that. And he has something to say to people like that, to people like us. And that leads to one other thing I want us to draw from this morning. And that is that Jesus' action was always pointed in the right direction. He had a mission. He was headed somewhere. And he knew where that was. He knew exactly where he was headed. Those around him didn't always know, but he knew. He knew where all this was leading. There was a little girl, 8-year-old girl, trying to teach her younger brother how to ride a bike. She had learned a while before, and it was a frustrating process. The little boy, several frustrating attempts. He finally caught his balance a little bit on this bike, and he sort of was wobbling side to side, and he shouted, "I'm moving, I'm moving." And his older sister, sort of a cold voice that showed disdain and so forth, she said, "Yeah, you're moving all right, but you aren't going anywhere." That is all too often the problem in our world and even in our lives. A lot of movement, but are we going anywhere? A lot of action, supremely busy, but not really headed anywhere. When we hold up Jesus this morning as a man of action, worthy of imitation, we are not calling for action simply for action's sake. That is not the point of this lesson, looking at Jesus. We're saying, look at the direction he was headed, and follow that direction. That's what's worthy of imitation. So yes, Jesus can sympathize with a busy world and its busy people, but he is deeply troubled by a world full of people going nowhere fast. That is not a good thing to him. There's a scene over in the 6th chapter of Mark. Beautiful scene. Jesus is tired. His disciples are tired. They're trying to get some rest, to get away for a while, because the same kind of thing has happened all the way through from chapter 1. They hadn't, on this occasion, even had time to eat. So it says that they withdrew for a time, but as often happened, the crowds found them. More than 5,000 people chase them down. And Jesus looks at these people, and the Bible says of Jesus, Mark chapter 6, verse 34, that when he saw that great crowd, it says he had compassion on them. He was deeply moved by what he saw because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were people that They had a lot of things going on in their life, but no direction, no guidance, no goal, no focus. You might remember the name of Ken Lay. Ken Lay was a founder and CEO of a corporation named Enron. He became one of the richest men in the world, built a huge corporation, and I think we could all agree you don't do that by being lazy. He was busy. He worked hard. He worked long. He's actually a preacher's son. He grew up in a poor family in Missouri. But the end of the story is that a court of law said that he defrauded thousands of people out of their life savings. So a lot of work, a lot of action, very little direction. Also, Aaron Spelling, famous Hollywood producer. He became famous producing such TV shows as Charlie's Angels, Dynasty, Melrose Place, Love Boat. You have to go back to the 70s and 80s to see those. They've made movies of them now, which you may be more familiar with. But he was the guy who created those shows. And there was times in those years that he was producing three or four shows at the same time. Incredibly busy. He became incredibly wealthy. He lived in the largest mansion in the United States at the time. That mansion had 123 rooms. Was he a man of action? Did he work hard? Yes. But most of what he produced would be described as escapist fluff. And most of it pretty immoral and ungodly. In distinct contrast to those, Jesus, the man of action, also had the right direction. He was going somewhere. He was establishing a kingdom. And he was, in order to do that, serving people. He was preparing himself to go to Jerusalem, where he knew what awaited him, a cross. And he said to us, his followers, hopefully, take up your cross and come follow me. Direction. And right after that, after he said that, Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus asks a very important question that I want you to think about as we conclude this morning. He asks, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? That's the invitation this morning to you. What does it profit to gain everything and lose what's most important? I hope your life, even if it's busy, is headed in the right direction. It's headed in the right direction if you're following Jesus, if you have indeed taken up your cross and are following him. If you haven't started that walk with him, again, today the invitation is extended to you to meet the Lord, to submit to him, to be baptized into Christ. If you've left the path of following him and you need to come back to him today, all it takes is confession and prayer. And he welcomes you back. If we can pray with you, help you in any way today in your walk with the Lord, we want to do that. While together we stand, we sing this song.